What are the key features required for the apprenticeship model to work? Well, they're pretty demanding, actually. The first, of course, is the availability and, more importantly, the willingness of a master craftsman to support an apprentice or more than one apprentice. And that's another issue, because often apprenticeship works best one-on-one, or one master looking after just two or three people who are working with that master craftsman or woman. And secondly, the learner, the apprentice, and the master craftsman must share the same learning context. In other words, they must be in a position where they can work together. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean face-to-face, although if it involves manual skills, it probably does. But it could, in terms of cognitive apprenticeship, for instance, mean working closely but online. And the third essential element is that the master craftsman or woman makes explicit both his or her embedded knowledge and the values of the craft. And this, again, is often a challenge, because masters, if I can use that term to cover both men and women, build up that experience and knowledge over a long period of time, and sometimes their knowledge is so deeply embedded, it's difficult for them to consciously know how they arrived at level of skill and knowledge. So it does require an ability to unpack one's knowledge to make it explicit to the learner, and particularly if there's a big step to be made between where the learner is at the moment and where they need to get to, it probably means breaking down those steps into several smaller discrete steps. And that means the master must understand what those different steps are, where often they built up and just jumped over those steps through many years of experience. The fourth requirement is lots of opportunities for practice for the apprentice. That means being able to have opportunities for practicing in a safe environment without causing damage to either materials or to particularly to people as a result of making mistakes through that practice. And that's where technology can come in very useful, allowing students to, for instance, follow a video of a process and then compare their own attempts at that process against the video of a master craftsman. And lastly, of course, the master must be able to provide regular and quality feedback to the learner. So that regular contact, again, between master and apprentice is really critical. And it's for these reasons that the apprenticeship model in higher education, particularly for training instructors, is probably not a good model, although it's the most prevalent one. It's not a good model for two reasons. One, it's very labor intensive. It's really a one-on-one or one on a couple of people at any one time. And secondly, it's not systematically applied in training, say, postgraduate students to teach. It's intermittent. It's not structured. It's not organized well enough to work at a post-secondary level. It's not to say that it couldn't work, but it would need a lot of refinement, and it would still be very expensive to do.